In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Great to welcome you all, and I'm sure our prayer is that this new year we shall be improving as life goes through it, but initially it seems to be still getting worse, or not staying where it is, it's certainly moving around. So many things on our hearts and minds as we gather. With the entrance antiphon, a profound silence covered all things, and night was in the middle of its course. Your all-powerful word, O Lord, bounded from heaven's royal throne. And I knew when I read it, there is a different translation. I think it's a bit nicer. When peaceful silence lay over all, and night had run half of her swift course, your all-powerful word, O Lord, let down from heaven, from your royal throne. I think it's that peaceful silence. And there's a sense in which, in the time of all this, ever since last March, there's been a sort of calm in one level when we hear that peaceful silence, and the Lord, of course, comes to us. That's a great strength, of course, that we celebrate day by day, week by week, year by year, that Lord always with us. So as he bids us welcome, we acknowledge to him our sins. Lord Jesus, you are mighty God and Prince of Peace. Lord of mercy. You are the Son of God and the Son of Mary. Christ of mercy. You are the Word made flesh and splendor of the Father. Lord of mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, bring us to everlasting life. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory, Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, splendor of faithful souls, graciously be pleased to fill this world with your glory and show yourself to all peoples by the radiance of your light. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Ecclesiasticus. Wisdom speaks her own praises. In the midst of her people, she glories in herself. She opens her mouth in the assembly of the Most High. She glories in herself in the presence of the Mighty One. Then the Creator of all things instructed me, and he who created me fixed a place for my tent. He said, "Pitch your tent in Jacob. Make Israel your inheritance." From eternity, in the beginning, he created me, and for eternity I shall remain. I ministered before him in the holy tabernacle, and thus was I established on Zion. In the beloved city he has given me rest, and in Jerusalem I wield my authority. I have taken root in a privileged people, in the Lord's property, in his inheritance. The word of the Lord. The word was made flesh and lived among us.
The
O praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Zion, praise your God. He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed the children within you.
Word was made flesh and lived among us.
He established peace on your borders. He feeds you with finest wheat. He sends out his word to the earth and swiftly runs his command. He makes his word known to Jacob, to Israel, his laws and decrees. He has not dealt thus with other nations. He has not taught them his decrees. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us all with the spiritual blessings of heaven in Christ. Before the world was made, he chose us in Christ to be holy and spotless and to live through love in his presence, determining that we should become his adopted sons through Jesus Christ for his own kind purposes, to make us praise the glory of his grace, his free gift to us in the Beloved. That will explain why I, having once heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love that you show towards all the saints, have never failed to remember you in my prayers and to thank God for you. May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and perception of what is revealed, to bring you to full knowledge of him. May he enlighten the eyes of your mind so that you can see what hope his call holds for you, what rich glories he has promised the saints will inherit. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Glory be to you, O Christ, proclaimed to the pagans. Glory be to you, O Christ, believed in by the world. Alleluia.
As you see from the newsletter, it says a longer form may be used, but I'll use tonight the one that you've got in front of you. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things came to be. Not one thing had its being but through him. All that came to be had life in him, and that life was the light of men, a light that shines in the dark, a light that darkness could not overpower. The Word was the true light that enlightens all men, and he was coming into the world. He was in the world that had its being through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own domain, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to all who believe in the name of him who was born not out of human stock or urge of the flesh or will of man, but of God himself. The Word was made flesh. He lived among us, and we saw his glory, the glory that is his as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of the Lord. There'd been a peace rally a few weeks before Christmas, some years ago. And on the platform in Trafalgar Square had been Cardinal Hume. And he wrote, as he was making his way through the crowds afterwards, long before all the mask things, the media reporters were trying to get comments from those who'd been speaking. And he said, one of his astonishment, one of them asked, "What does Christmas mean to you?" And Cardinal Hume wrote, "I was rather taken aback and had to react at once, and said the first thing that came into my mind, it was this: the great and awesome God became man for me." The reporter said, "Thank you," and didn't pursue that subject any further. But Cardinal Hume went on. "It was only after I'd gone 15 yards or so along the way that it dawned on me what I'd said. Here was a familiar truth which I'd known all my life, but at that moment, that simple truth that God had become man seemed to me quite staggering, and I realized I was looking at a familiar truth in a new way." And in a way, it's so easy, and of course this year has been so different at one level, but another level it's still the same, to celebrate Christmas and yet miss the main point of it, or become so familiar with the Christmas teaching and traditions about it that it fails to make its impact. It should have a profound effect on our lives, because it's the feast at which we celebrate God's entry into our world as a human being. He entered into our world in order to enter into our lives. He became to share what we are, to give meaning to what we do, to heal wounds, to give life. And of course, one of the great things, you know, I'm always moving you on, of ascension time, is that he took his human nature to the Godhead, because he'd become a human and he took that there. But in the meantime, he was here to do all that us to do as we do, to be with us, heal our wounds, give us life. And St. John seems to take it for granted that the hearers or readers of his gospel were familiar with the other stories that Luke and Matthew give us. Matthew takes his origins of Jesus back to Abraham. Luke takes him back to Adam. John digs much deeper and wants us to dig deeper. And that's why, as I say, we get the stories coming early. Of course, we get Matthew with the wise men on Epiphany on Wednesday, of Tuesday night, Wednesday. But of course, we get the shepherds and all those stories from Luke, of course. But John said, no, it's much deeper than all that, which is what John's gospel, of course, always is. His prologue is a bit like a musical overture, which is giving you the main themes of what you're going to go hear, either again through the overture or through, if it's an opera or it's something else, that's going to come up. And so we have in this short bit light, life, darkness, testimony, faith, glory, and truth. Testimony was the bit that was missed out. It was the bit about John the Baptist being the witness, which we had, of course, on the third Sunday of Advent. But that network of images and ideas John holds together in this around Jesus, the Word, who's portrayed as creator and redeemer of all things. So John's taken us back before even the beginning. It says in the beginning was the Word, but even before then, the Word already was. The eternity past, where God, the Son of God, was present with God the Father. And of course, John's getting into your minds the very opening of the Bible, in the beginning. You see, he's taking us right there. And there is light, and there is darkness, and there is life, and there is spoken word that brought all things into existence. And it's implied that the universe, once created through the Word of God in John's Gospel, is now being renewed through that same Word come in the flesh, Jesus Christ. So he's setting his prologue, as it were, at the beginning, but you're going to get all these themes coming through the story I'm going to reveal to you, says John, in the gospel. But that first reading from Ecclesiasticus, part of the wisdom literature of Scripture, which also reflects a search for the wise action in all of humanity's dealings. Wisdom doesn't have an intellectual emphasis, but refers to integrity of life. Wisdom, of course, is always the first of the seven gifts of the Spirit. That's why, you see, as we're walking through life in our confirmation, and if that's, of course, when we are received later in life, baptism, confirmation, first communion at Easter, but if it's when we're younger, that integrity in our life, it said, the first gift is that wisdom, which Genesis mentions, that Spirit hovering over the waters. Can you see all this? And you see, what the cardinal was trying to say was, see how important all this is, because it is life-changing, because it's about the whole universe, it's about everything that's going on. So the origin of wisdom, and Ecclesiastes sees this, is God. It's not a being separate from God. The perspective is that wisdom is basically a word or an utterance from God, which becomes personified, and it's seen very much as God mediating his creation and his dealings with his people. And I've always felt, you see, the Trinity is there right in the opening verses of Genesis, as in John's Gospel also. But that little bit that's quite important for us is that pitching of the tent. Because it spoke about wisdom, so looking around for somewhere to pitch its tent, pitching a tent in Israel. So the word made flesh pitched his tent. And the Greek word used literally means pitching a tent, and the translation has it tabernacled. The word tabernacled among us. Can you see the connection to the tabernacle? The light that's always burning, because that God who has made flesh lives among us. Betjeman's lovely poem. And is it true? And is it true? The most tremendous tale of all. The Word became flesh and lives today in bread and wine, which become his body and blood. The Lord tabernacled among us. Or picked up in the psalm, the words made flesh and lived among us. God dwelling with us here and now. That's the profound thing that John is giving to us. And that's why John's gospel, as well as all those other images, is also up and down. Because there's the movement down. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. And he, as I said at the ascension, goes back to the Father. But the word of the Father comes down into our world so as to lift us up to that new level of life in his return in glory. God has spoken to us in a word, in a language that everyone can understand, because it's a human life, it's human being. And in that is light that enlightens all, and nothing can overcome that light. However they try, however darkened the world may be, whatever's going on, the light. Still that light of Christ there. And so nothing can overcome that light. But T.S. Eliot wrote, though we have knowledge of words, an ignorance of the Word of God. He asked, where is the life we have lost in living? Where is the wisdom we've lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge that we've lost in information? Whatever we want to know, you go straight to your computer, smartphone, wherever you do all that sort of thing, and you can, it's all there. But what have we lost in it? We've lost what that word is of God. And so he says we must protect the word that God has spoken to us by distancing ourselves from empty and dead words, and discover silence when peaceful silence covered all things. Like Mary, pondering all things that were said, praying daily, as we do in the Angelus, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In that Word, we put our faith and trust as we profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation he came from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And so as the new year opens before us, we bring our prayers for the needs of all in the Church and the world, for the family of the Church throughout the world, especially in the Holy Land, and all those in persecution. May the love shown by Christians for one another be a beacon of God's glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy. And for the family of all nations and all those in authority within them, may they be given wisdom. May all search constantly for peace, with justice and freedom for all people. Lord, in your mercy. For the children of the world, those nearest to us, those in great need, and for our schools and their staff, may all find the help and support to overcome present difficulties. Lord, in your mercy. And continue our prayers for the isolated, the lonely, the sad, those separated from loved ones, those in pain, or caught up in the pandemic, and for all emergency services and the NHS. May they find in us kindness, consideration, and friendship, and hope in the Word made flesh. Lord, in your mercy. And for those who have died, especially Frank O'Donnell, all our own beloved departed, may they be with the saints and angels in the worship of heaven. May comfort come to all who mourn. Lord, in your mercy. Mary, Mother of the Church, pray for us as we say. And Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. The moment of quiet for our own intentions, mind the repose of Mary Legg. Loving Father, hear our prayers and use our lives as channels of your love and peace, and protect us always through Christ our Lord. Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the bread we offer you, fruit of the earth and work of human hands. It will become for us the bread of life. Yes. Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the wine we offer you, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It will become our spiritual drink. Hey, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Sanctify, O Lord, the offerings we make on the nativity of your only begotten Son, for by it you show us the way of truth and promise the life of the heavenly kingdom through Christ. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, for in the great mystery of the Word made flesh, a new light of your glory has shone upon the eyes of our mind. And so that as we recognize him, God made visible, we may be caught up through him in love of things invisible. And so with angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, with all the hosts of powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory as we have ached, we acclaim. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, whose command we celebrate these mysteries. From the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread. And giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." Similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. The mystery of faith. We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again. Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim, by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, the blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, with St. Gregory and St. Basil, and with all the saints, on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Mark, our Bishop, the order bishops, all the clergy, the entire people you've gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before you. Your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory through Christ our Lord, to whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honour is yours for ever and ever. Saviour's command, and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Peace of the Lord be with you always. Acknowledge each other. Lamb of God, behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. To all who would accept him, he gave power to become children of God. Let us pray. Lord our God, we humbly ask you that through the working of this mystery, our offences may be cleansed and our just desires fulfilled through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Just a reminder that Epiphany is now back to its usual day, so it's on the 6th, that Wednesday. There's Mass here at 12, 10 in St. Ives, or the Vigil in Hale. It's all on the newsletter anyway. Send us out with the special blessing for the beginning of the year. I know that was yesterday, but we can still have it today, I'm quite sure. The Lord be with you. Now for the blessing. May God, the source and origin of all blessing, grant you grace, pour out his blessing in abundance, and keep you safe from harm throughout the year. Amen. May he give you integrity in the faith, endurance in hope, perseverance and charity with holy patience to the end.
Amen.
And may he order your days and your deeds in his peace, that your prayers in this and in every place and may lead you happily to eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life.